As we sing that song, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. What I'm wondering is, are we just telling the Holy Spirit that he's welcome here in this place or here?
Here.
What happened over there?
Here, here.
Both places. You know, glad that you're here this morning. I missed you last week. If you're not on our email list, you might want to get on there. If you don't have our app, that's how we kind of get the word out about those kinds of things. And we didn't have worship last week, so to make it up to you, I know you were disappointed. To make it up to you, I doubled my sermon today. So it's just it's the kind of guy I am. That's how I roll. Glad that you are here this morning worshiping with us. If you are a first-time visitor or been visiting with us perhaps sometime and not let us know who you are, we would love to know who you are. We would love to know that you are here. There's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. I invite you to fill that out, and that's where you can, even if you've been here a long time, you may even be a member, we don't have your email address, you can jot your email down there and check that you want to be on our list and just leave that in your seat, and we will get that and get you set up. Jim, did you get my email?
No, sir.
You still not getting it? We'll have to figure out what's going on. One of the things that went just a few months ago went to a different sort of an email server, and if you're not getting my weekly emails and you've signed up for them, let me know. I know Jim has not been getting them. And also check your trash folder. I know that's where probably you think that my emails belong, but if you want to read it, it may be sending it to trash. You may have to mark that. Did anybody, we didn't get a chance last week to kind of celebrate that we were coming in a new year. You know, for me, we all have different things that we do for the holidays, and for me and Cheryl, we hunkered down, you know, it's like 18 degrees during those Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, very cold. We just hunkered down and went through about a quarter of a rack of our firewood and just enjoyed the warmth of our home. People have different ways of celebrating the New Year's, and this year was, you know, like 18 degrees, like I say. Corey, did you have any particular way you celebrated New Year this year? Well, let's see. Yeah, we have a video of it. Let's see what we got here. Oh! It didn't take you long to get back in the house, did it? You know, I'm not sure what's more funny, you doing what you did or Taylor laughing about what you did. But, okay, I think he is frozen enough. You know, the movie Christmas Story, you know, the triple dog dare to the tongue, to the light, to the flagpole. I think you got triple dog dared to do that, I'm sure. Oh, man. We have a lot of sane people in our church and a few crazy ones too. So if you're, turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3. Now, just a little context. I've read from Ephesians many times. Just to kind of set this up, Paul is writing this letter from prison. And I always find it really very interesting, the perspective of this man who's in prison. And we're going to pick it up in verse 1, Ephesians 3, 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We have invited you. We invited you to be in our presence, and we've invited you to stir us inside of us, to speak. God, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak with power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I had this planned for last week, and we obviously got iced out, so the message today is the mystery of Christ, the mystery of Christ. It's amazing to me if you look in your Bible, we don't talk about that word mystery very often, but it's woven throughout the New Testament. Paul talks about the mystery a lot. Now, I was thinking about mysteries that we have in this world, things that we just don't completely understand that are truly mysteries to us. Things like, how were the Great Pyramids actually built? How were they built back in ancient times? What happened to the Ark of the Covenant? We know that the Babylonians sacked Jerusalem and the Ark just kind of disappeared, and we don't know what happened. It contained the Ten Commandments. Who really killed JFK? Was there one shooter? Was there two in a more modern day? And my favorite, what has happened to my wife's internal thermostat? Oh, my, yes. I have permission. I have permission to go there. All right, ladies, come on. Come on. What's up? For our whole lives, we've had, you know, Cheryl's always been cold and I've always been hot. And now, mysteriously, that has flipped. She freezes me to death. And so those, as we ponder the great mysteries of the universe, keep that in mind. Cheryl, I apologize. I got her blessing to talk about that. So perhaps even a greater mystery than that is this mystery that Paul is talking about. In verses 1 through 5 today, Paul speaks of this mystery of Christ, a mystery not revealed in ancient times, not revealed to men in times past, a mystery now revealed to him and the apostles through the Holy Spirit. This mystery of Christ that's been revealed to him through the Holy Spirit. So what is this mystery that Paul speaks of? And does it have anything to do with us? Does it pertain to us? First, to answer the question, what is this mystery? The mystery is that we are now, through Christ, we are one under the lordship of Christ. See, Christ came to make us all one. Now, I'm going to read verse 6 from our passage today. This mystery, he spends the first 5 verses talking about the vagueness of this ministry, of this mystery. And then in verse 6, he begins to describe, this is what the mystery is. This mystery is that through the gospel, we would become members together of one body and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. So through the gospel, what is the gospel? The gospel is Jesus Christ. The gospel is that Jesus, He is God made flesh. He came and lived a sinless life among us. He died for our sins. He was resurrected on the third day, and he will come again. the gospel. That is the gospel. And so the mystery is the gospel of Jesus Christ binds us together in one body. And if you look at, if you go earlier in Ephesians, here's what Paul also said about this mystery in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. And he made known to us the mystery of his will. Did you know that he has, God has a will? He has something that he has planned, a purpose. The mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Christ unites us. Christ unites us. He is, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the mystery. You know, throughout the New Testament, as I said, especially Paul's writings, he speaks over and over and over again about becoming one, about oneness. Even, and I use this all the time when I'm speaking to couples, premarital counseling or counseling of a couple, Ephesians 5, it speaks of the two becoming one flesh, which is referring back to the Genesis passage when God created Adam and Eve. The two shall become one. That even God himself, the Trinity, is one. There's this oneness that's in Christ. And God's, the mystery of God's will is that we, through Christ, would be one. Now, so that moves me to my second point. Who is included in this mystery? All who place their faith in Jesus Christ, i.e., the church, you and I. Now, I want us to be clear. I'm not talking about institutions, the institution of church. What I'm talking about is, and what this passage is talking about, the mystery is that Christ unites the church. Through Christ, as revealed through the Holy Spirit, the church, we are one in Christ. And I tell, as I speak of unity, we can't be unified. You can't, it's impossible to be unified outside of Christ. Is anybody listening to me? It's impossible to be unified outside of Christ. If Christ is what unifies us, if we don't have Christ, we can have no unity. There cannot be oneness outside of Christ. So all who place their faith in Christ, i.e. the church, are included in this mystery. Verse 6 again. This mystery is that through the gospel we just talked about, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. Now this was members together of one body and shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. So we go back to the Old Testament and let's talk for just a second there. So in the Old Testament, God made covenant with the nation of Israel through Abraham. And the covenant was this. The covenant was, I will be your God and you will be my people. And so there's this relationship that happens, this covenantal relationship that happens through the nation of Israel. Well, it was up until Christ, it was just the nation of Israel. That was it. That were part of this promise of God saying, I will be your God and you will be my people. It was just with the nation of Israel. Suddenly through Christ, this mystery is unfolded that God had a bigger plan. He came for all people to be united under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So, Colossians, Paul also speaks in Colossians, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, this was radical stuff, among the Gentiles, the glorious riches of this mystery, and I love this, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Don't you love that passage? The mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So again, I don't want to beat this point to death, but I want us to understand that we can't have unity outside of Christ. Christ is what provides the unity, and so outside of Christ. Now, if church just becomes this social institution where we could be doing lots of great things. We can be serving the poor and feeding the hungry and visiting those in prison and doing a lot of the things, but unless we are under the lordship of Christ, that is not the fullness of this mystery that God is talking about. Ephesians 2 says it this way. Again, Paul writing in the same letter. Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. So outside of Christ, there is no mystery, there is no promise, there is no unity. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Now, I don't know, church, that's good news to me. And it's there's other passages that speak of, you know, that we're saved by grace through faith, and it's so that no one may boast. It's not through our own works. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ that this mystery of Christ is revealed and that we are made one. So we understand that the mystery is basically the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he brings us into oneness. And we understand that we must place our faith in Jesus Christ to be a part of this mystery, to be a part of this oneness, the church. So if we understand those things, then what do we do with it? Let's look at the back to our passage. What do we do with this mystery? We share it. I talk about this probably too often, maybe sometimes, but the gospel is not just something for us to consume. The gospel is something for us to share. Two words that have really become very powerful in my life involving Christ's work in me is the first one is come. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so there's this coming to Christ, and that's the mystery of the church, where we come under the lordship of Christ. And then a word at the end of his ministry, his end of his time on the earth, he says, go. So he says, come to me, and then he says, go and make. Go and be active. Go and share this good news, this mystery that I've given you. It's not a mystery for us to consume. It's a mystery for us to share. Do we understand that? And if we're not doing it, it doesn't mean we have to walk up and down the street. You know, what we have in our mind that evangelism is walking up and down the street, knocking on doors and just, you know, telling people that, you know, Jesus loves them or whatever. And some people may want to do it that way, and that's fine. But, man, I'm just saying, just share the hope of Christ with the people that's in your lives. God's put people in your lives. You've got a coworker that's struggling, that needs Jesus, that needs a place to worship, and you've got people that you just be a, you know, in the grocery store, just smile. I mean, just greet people, be kind, stop and do for people. We share the gospel in so many ways. His intent, verse 10 says, his intent was now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. Through the church, that it's been the responsibility of sharing this mystery. Paul speaks of it, started with the Holy Spirit conveying that, revealing that to him and the other apostles and the prophets, but they shared it with someone else who shared it with someone else. We didn't hear it directly from Paul, except for from the Word. Paul didn't walk up to us and go, let me tell you about this mystery. No, we heard it because someone else heard it and received it and shared it. And so, how much more, church, should we be doing the same thing? Ephesians 6:19. Pray also for me, this is Paul again, that whenever I open my mouth, divine utterance may be given me so that I will boldly make known the mystery of the gospel. The mystery is that Christ unites us into one. That's God's heart, is for us to be one. One of Jesus' last prayers on this earth, it's recorded in John 17. He says, he's prays for the disciples. And then he says, my prayer is not just for them, not just these 12 here. My prayer is also for those who would come to believe through their message. That's you and I. And that they may be one so that the world will know that you've sent me. See, our proclamation of this mystery is part of God's plan that the world may know that Jesus wants, his heart for us is to be one through him. So in just a moment, we're gonna have an opportunity to partake in Holy Communion. And we're gonna I don't always do the liturgy, but we're gonna do the communion liturgy today. And I want you to be watching for this paragraph. And here's what it says. And so, and he's speaking of what Jesus has accomplished, it says, "And so, in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim," here it is, "the mystery of the faith." And then in the very next sentence, "Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again." Now, I want to unpack that just a second. Christ has died. It's something, it's past tense. It's something he's already done for us. Christ has died for us. It's there for us to receive. And then Christ is risen. It's present tense. What it doesn't say Christ did rise. It says Christ is risen. We don't serve a Savior that's in a tomb. I love that. You know, you can visit all sorts of tombs and see, you know, the skeletal remains of this and that and all, you know. Cheryl and I just went to Italy, and we went down and under the Vatican, and there's the catacombs, and you got, this is Pope, blah, 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 this is his, you know, burial place and all. It's like, can't go visit Jesus' bones. Why? Because he's risen. Because we don't serve a dead Savior that has been. Christ has died, something he's done. Christ is risen, present tense. This is what he's doing for us right now. And Christ will come again, future tense. That's what we are eagerly have expectations for. I ran across this quote that he's deceased now, but from a pastor I was not familiar with him, Theodore Epp. You familiar with him? You familiar with Theodore Epp? And here's his quote. I love this. It was really powerful to me. And here's what he said. "Live as though Christ died yesterday, rose from the grave today, and is coming back tomorrow." Don't you love that? I'm going to read it again. Live as though Christ died yesterday, rose from the grave today, and is coming back tomorrow. If that's how we live our lives in proclamation of this mystery of Christ, that his heart is that we would be one. We would be one. If you would, turn in your hymnals. I know you can find them. They're right there in front of you. Turn to page 12, if you would. You'll read back the bold print. I'll read the other. "Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." If you'd pray in your own heart, your own personal prayer of forgiveness. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. You'll skip over to the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread and he gave thanks and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering to us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, and with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. If those who are serving in the praise team and the sound team will come, please. As we just read together, Christ our Lord invites you to this table. You do not have to be a member of our church. You do not have to be a member of any church. If Christ is your Lord and Savior and you repent of your sins, you're welcome to this table. There's two stations here and two stations over here where you'll be given a piece of bread and you can dip it into the cup and partake in that manner. If you'd like the individual cups and individual bread here, you can come to the center aisle. The altar rail is open as well.
Jesus is calling.
been revealed to you is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Go and tell someone. There it is. God bless you.